You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, everybody. I am Lucia Matuonto, and welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast, a talk show where my guests and I talk about relatable everyday situations, books, and the environment we live in. Remember to subscribe and follow the podcast on social media so you can be notified when a new episode is available. Let's begin. Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Relatable Voice podcast. Today, the RV is going to Nairobi, Kenya, to speak to Paulino Mamir Scholl. Paulino is a PhD candidate who has published his book, Leading the Lost Boys, The Untold Journey, which shares his true story of being kidnapped as a child in Africa. So, my dear Paulino, welcome to the RV.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, of course, Paulino. So, you were born in South Sudan, and I read that it's a multilingual country and that the official language is English. Is that correct?
Yes. When we were with Sudan, the first language was Arabic. Mm-hmm. But when we got independent in 2011, our country, South Sudan, put English as a first language in South Sudan.
Okay, and how many languages can you speak?
I speak two languages, and I know Arabic a little bit orally, but yeah. I didn't go to school for it. I just learned it when I was in the bush.
And Paulino, you were separated from your family and taken to Northern Sudan. So can you share with us what happened?
In South Sudan, we were attacked by Maralin militias armed by Sudan government. So they used to come to our village, killing the men, taking the cattle, children, women to the Northern Sudan. So that time, I was one of the children that was taken to to Northern Sudan. And I was taken by one of our family, and I stayed with their kid for a while. And later on, one of my Dinka men, he used to saw me in that family. So one time he approached me and he said, "Why are you here?" And I said, "I was kidnapping some months ago, and I don't know where to go." He told me that if I escape later on, because I am in process to escape away from these city, that was a BIA district in southern of Ulunal, southern Dukor Dufan, but is north side in my village. So that time when he planned to escape away, then he informed me that I will escape away later on at night, midnight, whereby all malicious sleep, and then the police in that area sleep, then we can escape. So that time he showed me where he stayed, and that time I went to his place, and then we escaped at night, and we walked until we went to another place, and then another time we went up to our village because he knew the area at that time. But me, I know nothing because I was about 7 years old.
Only 7 years old.
Yes, yeah. That time, even that time, the people, the men, they caught with me, they killed them in front of us. To scare us, like that, yeah, like that we cannot think of going away because we will be killed like those people later on if they caught us again. So they scare us too much that time. Because they kill people by dismembering them. They don't kill them right away, like shooting them or maybe slaughtering them. They just cut their hand, their ear, and then their leg until the person died through bleeding. Mm. So it was terrible experience.
And Paulino, and also I see that you march barefoot across three African countries on a quest for freedom. Can you tell us more about it?
Yes, when I went back to my village, those militias, they still attacking our village. And I was separating with my family. So that time I flee with my uncle called Matormalwalayu. So I walk with him. We just walk to where the sun come from. So we walk about 3 months from South Sudan to Ethiopia. And I was included to the children who were displaced too. Children ran away from their parents. So that time they call us and accompany children when we were in Ethiopia. That time we were separated from the older people and they put us together by United Nations. So that time our groups, they were about 12 groups. Each group was about 1,500 children. So we stay in Ethiopia for 4 years. And then the Ethiopian, the rebel from the Ethiopian, they captured the government that time. Mengistu Mariam was the president at that time. And then the rebel, they captured the government. So we went away because our link was Mengistu. But the rebel, we were not having a link with them. We were not a friend with them. So they chased us away. And we went to South Sudan again, called Pachala County, the border between Ethiopia and then South Sudan. We stay over there for 8 months, I think, from June until April, until February. And then that time the militia, they came. And then they captured Pachala County that time. And then we left. So that time even I was sick. I was behind the children, the lost boy. So they walked and I went after them until I got them when we were in Nairobi, temporary refugee camp. And that is South Sudan too, close to the border of Kenya. And that time the militia, they were still following us. They captured Kapota. Kapota was close to Ethiopia, to Nairobi refugee camp. That was a temporary refugee camp. So we left. We went to Lokchokyo. And then the UNHCR at that time took us to Kakuma refugee camp. And I stayed in Kakuma refugee camp for almost 13 years. At that time, I became one of the lost boy leaders. So I was supervising one group called Group of One. And his school was Malakal Primary School. So that time when the resettlement of coming to the United States came in 1997, that time I was one of organizing leader that time. So the teacher who was responsible for all lost boy put me in charge. It's like that when there is any case, because there were resettlement cases, when the United Nations, they put the names on the board, the two boys can quarrel on one name. One boy claimed that is my name. That one boy claimed that is my name. While the one boy might be right, and then the other boy is not right. So that time I was put in that cases to solve those cases. So whenever two boys fought over one card or one name, then I have to solve that problem with a United Nations official who were working with the settlement of the lost boy. Because lost boy last time, who were not having a name or going to United States, they claim that we were lost boy before, but why we not go to America? While their name were not in the lost boy group, called minor groups. So that time I used to solve those cases and it let me stay in Kakuma for more 3 years while I was waiting fly to go to the United States. I was staying to solve those cases. That made my book different from those lost boys who wrote book already. I have many cases I explained. Many cases I went up to UNHCR and I still win the case because I have the fact. Mm-hmm. And those cases, they were related to the resettlement of going to the United States. Even mm-hmm. I other people, they accused me, they want to kill me that, well, you know, he stand with that boy. I said, yeah, because he has fact. He has a body card and he has his name over there. So, and he has a picture in the file already. Do you have those files on the file? Nothing. So he is right. You are not right. You just want to take that name because we are going to America. That's the problem. It was bad.
Yes. And Paulino, how many kids were with you?
When I was in Kakuma refugee camp, at first time, we were, my group was about 800. But that time, I was not a head boy. My head boy was Joseph Manyanya. Later on, when he left, he went back to South Sudan. So that time I took over in 1996. So the population dropped down because of life was not good. And then the insecurity in Kenya, the local people, they used to kill us at night. Even that time, about 50 refugees, they were killed. And within my group, about two boys, they were killed by Turkana people who were the local people over there. One guy called Simon Majomayi and one guy called Deng Aluo, they were killed in my group. So my group dropped out until when the resettlement of coming to United States get us successful. I think the boys who made it to United States, I think they're 350. But The rest went back to South Sudan. And some they went to community because of life was not bad, was not good. So different issues separate us from other my colleagues who were with us before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've worked hard for what you have: your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply. You've worked hard for what you have: your money, your assets, your 401k, and home. Isn't it all worth protecting? Nearly one in four consumers have been a victim of identity theft. LifeLock Ultimate Plus helps protect your finances with up to $3 million in reimbursement. LifeLock alerts you to identity threats you might miss. And if your identity is stolen, your dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. Let LifeLock help protect what you've worked so hard for. Save 25% off your first year on LifeLock Ultimate Plus at LifeLock.com/aware. Terms apply.
Paulino, your resilience is truly inspiring. So what does the world need to know about the Sudanese lost boys?
Yeah, they need to read the books that were written, and especially my book. If they read that one, they will understand what happened from the village to Ethiopia to Kenya and here in America when we become American citizen or American resident. Because the life we have in the village and the life we have in Ethiopia and the life we have in Kenya and the life we have in America, they're all different. Mm-hmm. But the life, the better life is the life in America. Unless if you are less here, that's where you can be suffered. Or if you maybe drink and you don't go to work, okay, that will make you poor. But if you know what to do, then you will be fine. So reading our book will make better understanding of how lost boys suffered from refugee camp to refugee camp, and here and in America. Because when you don't have a friend in America, it's very difficult to get a job, to get a car, and even where to go, you don't know. Because even if you have a bus pass, you don't know the area then you will get lost. Even last time it happened to me, because I just take bus to bus, but I don't know where to go. So when we become educated, it becomes better for us to write a book saying that our life should be understood by people, by our people and even American people, and then people around the world. Mm-hmm. They can understand that. And later on, for other people who might go to the experience we went before, they can understand how they can get rid of that problem, how they can solve those problems. Because our issue, we don't want it to repeat it to other children.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, we don't need that.
And also you have a foundation, is the Mamia Shaw Foundation.
When I live in my village, we used to bring in the river directly. We don't have any clean water. And when we went to Ethiopia, the same thing. We drink directly from the river. Even when we were in the bush, we just drink directly from the river. We just get a clean water when we were in Kapu, Kenya, and when we came to the United States. So when I go to my village and drink water directly from the water, from the river, I got sick. And when I go to my village too, our people, they ford over the water during the dry season. So that war, when I think about the war we grew up in it, and then the war that cannot stop, it came to my mind that I have to help my people to bring water that will be accessible to everybody, to every animals, even cattle, even goats, even sheep. They should have their own water. Say that people should not fight again over the dead water from the river. And so, people should not get sick. While we have a way, we can prevent those diseases from the water. If our people have their own water, clean water and cattle, and then the goat and then the sheep, then I think the life will be better. And that organization, I just said that I want to make change. I want to create a new life. The life they never been before, the life the animal have not seen it before. I want to make that happen.
Wonderful.
Yeah. My foundation will bring clean water to our people and to our cattle, our sheep, our goats in South Sudan. And hospital to build clinic whereby everybody should get access to a treatment.
Wow, that's super
whereby
important.
Whereby our woman should give birth in the hospital or in the clinic, instead at home, locally.
And Paulino, you completed a master's in law and policy, and you are completing your PhD. It's amazing how you accomplished so much. What are you working on next?
Yeah, in America, when I went to America last time, my first goal was education. That time too, I become a friend to people who are educated. I become a friend to professors, judge, even lawyers. So they advised me, because those people, they were interested in South Sudan, to know what is going on in South Sudan. I used to give presentation to churches, to school, like high school, colleges and universities. So that time I was having a network of people who like me to succeed. So that time I used to go to a college. After I finished college, then I went to University of Colorado in Colorado Springs. And later on, I went back to South Sudan to see what is going on in South Sudan. That was 2014 after I got my bachelor. So I stayed over there for a year to study what is going on over there. So that time I saw law is lacking in South Sudan. Because if we don't have law, then people, they don't know what they are doing. Law is the guide of the people. It's like in the village, when they have sheep, they listen to the sheep. Because sheep is a law, and is a guide, and is a police, is everything under the sheep. So it's the same thing with the country. The law is the one that will organize the country, and then the people will follow the law. And even in the United States, nobody above the law. So that time it came to my mind that let me get a master's degree in law, such that I should help my people with that one. It's like when I bring water later on, I have to write something that will guide it. We should go this way, and that is rule. You cannot break that one. And then I will have to teach my villagers over there, say, we have to go this way. And they will respect it because they say that, yeah, this guy, he went to school for a lot. So they will respect me of that qualification. So later on, then I said, yeah, let me do my PhD in management and security. Because in South Sudan, we have insecurity. But if you don't have knowledge of security, then you don't know what to tell your people. You don't know what to tell your government. So if I go to my village, I can talk, I can get connected with the local government. This side, we have to do this side. Even the when I drill well, that will maybe, I think that maybe it will get damaged. Then I have to talk with the commissioner and say that, can you guard that well, because it will get damaged. So police has to deploy, to be deployed over there, so that it should be protected. And it came to my mind that way, because I went to school for security. And I know the use of security, how people be protected by government. So the local government will say, yeah, he's right, because he went to school for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just do what will make our people understand me later on. They will not say that I am guessing. They will say that it came to his experience and then his educational background. And I got it from America. Security is very important. Even when the people, our people, they used to fight over the cattle, raiding cattle. Yeah, I can talk to the local people, the local government, say that if you do this one, those people, they will not come. You have to deploy police over there, say that they will not come to that area anymore. Mm-hmm. So the local government will listen.
Your story is a story of resilience, a story of strength and fight. And I would like you could tell our listeners where we can find your book, Leading the Lost Boys, and also where we can find you online.
Leading the Lost Boy is available on Amazon. If you put Leading the Lost Boy and a tall journey, it can pop up on Amazon. Another way of finding me too is my foundation. If you Google it, www.mychfoundation.org, then you will find me. And Mych is start with M-A-C-H, foundation.
Mm-hmm.
The whole foundation, then it will pop up and you will find me over there online.
Are you on social media?
Yeah, social media, yeah, it's Paulino Mamir Shaw. So that's my Facebook. I make it easier.
Yeah. So Paulino, thank you so, so much for spending your time here. I know you're traveling and you... You are here talking with us, and I wish you can do more. You can keep doing what you're doing, and yes, you can change something.
Yeah, I am hoping I will change something in my country. Thank you for having me on your show.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, so you'll be notified when the next one is posted. Please rate this podcast and share it with your friends. Thank you for listening, and remember, relationships don't exist. Relating does. Until next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.